Reason 4. I will now state one more reason why I cannot give heed to your admonition, and then I shall have done. There is a dying bed a little before me, and judgment seat, where I expect to stand and give account for all the actions of my life. Can I tell the people of God that they have no Savior from sin during their whole lives, that live long as they may, and labor as hard as they may, to find out the path of life, and pray as fervently as they may, and trust in their Savior for the fulfillment of the promises as fully as they may? They are doomed, hopelessly, to sin against the Redeemer they love, more or less, even to their dying hour, that all their cries and struggles for help are vain, and that they must be, to some extent, rebels against the heart of infinite love, until the grim monster death appears for their deliverance? To me it looks like casting dust in the eyes of such as wish to see a way whereby they may be enabled to love their God and worship with a perfect heart, and sewing pillows to the armholes of those who wish to pass comfortably through life in their remaining corruptions, hoping to find a Savior from sin, only when all opportunity for sinful enjoyment has passed away. I feel, brethren, that I could not go in peace to my dying pillow, or appear at the great tribunal, expecting the approbation of my judge, if I did not tell God's people that he has promised to circumcise their heart, and the heart of their seed, to love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul, to sprinkle clean water upon them, and make them clean from all their filthiness, and from all their idols to cleanse them, and that these, with many other exceeding great and precious promises, were given for the express purpose that through them they might cleanse themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and perfect holiness in the fear of God, that by these promises they might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I feel it to be a matter of unspeakable importance to the honor of Christ and the good of his cause and the holiness and peace of his suffering heritage, that they may be made to know that there has come out of Zion a deliverer to turn away ungodliness from Jacob, and that God has said respecting this deliverer, "This is my covenant with them when I shall take away their sins." Romans 11:27. It seems to me that God's professing people do not know their deliverer, and there are vast multitudes who seem altogether unwilling to know him. Hence the reproach cast upon such as declare that there is a deliverer to turn away ungodliness from them and take away their sins. But I see not how I can lie down in peace on my dying pillow or meet the Savior in judgment before the universe unless I do what in me lies to make him known. I feel constrained to cry in the ears of the church, "Behold your deliverer. He has come to turn away ungodliness from you and to take away your sins. Look to him, believe on his name, and let your iniquities be taken away and your sins purged." Isaiah 6:7. And now, brethren, I am done. I cannot, for the reasons I have named, and in view of my final account, I dare not to listen to your admonition for a moment. With my name, you must do what you think right before God, and in view of an approaching judgment, I have no further defense to make. If you cannot own me as one of your number, while I tell the church of Christ that he was manifested to take away their sins, and that they may and ought so to abide in him that they sin not, that it is my privilege and theirs so to abide in Christ, and that it is my belief that through the grace of God I do so abide in him, if such a confidence in my Redeemer for the fulfillment of God's exceeding great and precious promises must still make me, in your estimation, an advocate of important and dangerous error, then just blot me out of your book, and let the transaction be recorded, as it will be, in the book of God, to be reviewed before the universe in the final day, that I hold the doctrine which you call important and dangerous error, and believe it to be the brightest glory of my bleeding Savior's gospel is true, and I know that if you knew the blessedness of trusting fully in Christ as your Redeemer from all iniquity, there is not a man of you who would not choose that his tongue should perish rather than to be used to pronounce such a doctrine importantly and dangerously erroneous. But if you still adhere to that opinion, I must consider myself as no longer of your number, and you must do to me and with me as you think our Lord and Master requires. Now may the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Yours in the Gospel, Charles Fitch.